You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
When we talk about the guests that we get in here,
bro,
I mean, it's legends only.
I can't even believe it sometimes. Some people that even just respond to text messages. I'm just like, wow, I cannot believe.
Do they know it's us?
Do they know
it's us? Did they save it as somebody more important?
They should ask first. Yeah, yeah. Are you a catfish?
Yeah,
they
should exactly.
Ask that first and then answer.
There is an epidemic of lack of management, you know, brand management, because so many people say yes to being on the show.
The surprising thing, soccer players are way more accessible than people think.
Yeah.
Okay? We're contacting them.
Which is not being said as a positive, by the way.
Nah, bro, you gotta shut it down.
And the only reason we know that is because this guest has walked through our doors, an absolute legend of the U.S. men's national team.
Okay.
And U.S. soccer in general.
Just an American.
And just MLS.
An American soccer staple.
Bro, you know the name, but do you know the person behind the name? And I also want to give this man credit for showing so much chest on this show. Oh, my God.
Okay.
The chesticles are out.
Okay.
You feel me?
My man, I was just like, bro, this is my Dominican cousin.
Yeah,
bro.
100%. This man walked in. I said, do you shop at the barbershop? I get my hair cut. There's some more zippers on this man's knees than I've ever seen in my life. Bro, this dude is an absolute legend. We got a chance to hang out in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I suggest none of you hang out. It was a wild time. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the legend, Edson Buttle, everybody!
Edson, hey. What is
this? I'm waiting for the crowd. I'm going to clap.
Yeah, the applause is going.
Thanks for that introduction.
Of course, man.
Thanks for having me, you know, and congrats, you know, so far, you know, I think more success. It's the build-up.
Thank you.
Yes, this is about us and our success.
We brought you on here to compliment us.
Yes. Uh-huh. But already scoring points with us. That's how good of a striker this man is.
Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Hit the button.
That's it.
All right, and we're excited about today's guest very much. Edson Buttle. You already heard Edson speak. For a moment, and already came in hot with the kindness. Right.
Yeah.
This is where I want to start, because Edson Buttle, obviously you've had just such an incredible career, especially in Major League Soccer. Represented the U.S. men's national team. We'll go through the ups and downs of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing, whenever I talk to you about, when I talk to anybody about you, the first thing they always say, one of the nicest dudes I've ever met in my life, right? And when I think of strikers in world football, kindness is not the thing.
Not the first.
Not the
that
first
comes
thing.
Up.
I mean, you don't expect them to be mean,
right?
But you expect them to be to have this certain carry themselves in a certain way.
Here's an example of the difference. You remember the people you've spoken to. It's not that common with strikers. Yeah,
well, it's true. You have to have this cat kind of sneaky approach, you know. And I think with my mannerisms, you know, calm demeanor, I may come off as vague, you know, at times. But I do have a personality. I am tough. I can be mean. You know,
uh-huh.
I'm a Gemini, so I have both sides, you know.
Okay.
Right.
So, you know, the thing with me is I never back down from New York, so I'm very proud about being a New Yorker. So I was scrappy with defenders. And you have to be that way to be a striker. So there's no other way. Or you'll get beat up. You ever see those center backs? Especially the Peruvian guy from NYC, the one that shot the last
Collins. Yeah, Alexander Collins.
He's huge, right?
So
you can't be soft, you know? And I tell, you know, I'm training kids, you know, I tell them, look, you got to beat like Peruvians and people from Colombia.
Watch out
know?
For the Peruvians.
Yeah, look out. Look out. Put a padlock on your wall. Like, no, it's enough.
Yeah, you can't be soft. Yeah, you can't be soft, you know? But for me, I guess being on the road for so long, you know, I left. You know, I was 17, went to college in Missouri. You're not with your family, so you're meeting so many different people, adapting to new environments. And you have to be respectful. You know, you can't go into new territory, someone else's hometown, and be disrespectful. So one of the things for me is respect, you know, in my travels. And I think that's helped me along the way.
You bring up respect. You got to have respect. And Christian brought this up. Other soccer players, especially strikers, that's like the how kind of wide receivers are perceived in the NFL. You know, sunglasses on indoors, uninterested, flashy. You know, their personality walks in before them. And you lead with kindness and respect, which is just so rare. When you're teaching these kids, are you being like, you got to be a dog out there? Or are you being like, you better fold your clothes? Like, what?
You got to be a kind dog out
there. Yeah, yeah. More of a puppy, you know?
Well, I realized quickly when I started coaching, you know, I was a little bit too nice, you know? Mm-hmm. And I realized that I'm projecting this nice striker that's fit, you know, good touch. But I said, no, look, I'm the opposite when I'm playing. I find myself I have to say it to the players, to the kids, because they're thinking, you know, I'm just a nice striker that has scored all these goals and no one, you know, elbowed me in the back of the head. Right. But I do have to make it a point to let them know you got to be scrappy, you got to be a dog. And,
you know,
I don't yell at them and show them. But no one's agitating me.
That's a good coach.
Yeah. And they see the clips. They see the video. So that helps, you know, YouTube and all these things. So,
they see some of your beast goals.
Right. It's not like they saw it before they met me. You know, they meet me and then they go look it up. And it all makes sense.
It's like, yo, coach got game. We should listen to him.
Yeah, they respect it a little bit more. I mean, I've seen, especially on your Instagram, you know, we didn't go into too much detail, but you are coaching now. You were the academy coach for NYCFC. That's when, maybe like 2-3 years ago, I remember we were talking about that. And there is something to, you know, when you are on the pitch and you're training players, there's a little bit of like, oh, okay, this is the Edson that if you were mic'd up when we were watching you play, maybe this is the player we would have heard, because there is a certain something happens where you're just like, you're much more
switch
direct,
turns on,
louder, man. Much more earnest, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So clearly, yeah, you know how to turn it on and turn it off.
100%. And, you know, I play pickup, you know, with my dad growing up. And when you go to different, you know, environments, you know, there's a lot of trash talking, you know. And when you're young, you don't talk as much. But as you get older, you know, you start to chip away a little bit.
Right.
And then now you're just full-blown man, you know, trying to get under people's skin. Trying to get a win, right?
This used to bother me because when I was young and I would watch sports get played on TV, you don't hear the players.
Yeah.
So I just assume the game is in silence.
This is quiet.
Right? I just assume it's instinctual. And then the first time I ever played, people were like, pass it me. I'm like, hey, you guys are being real loud.
This is not how the game is played. Yeah,
I feel like you're never going to be a pro if you keep yipping out here like this. And I didn't realize, like, that's all part of the game. But, like, you know, as a defender, I'd hear some of the other defenders kind of like talk smack a little bit to the striker. I'm like, man, I didn't know you could do that because I'm good at that.
No, you'd be very good at
that. Yeah,
this is where
I can
legit,
excel.
100%. Yeah. And you'll get in a lot of players' heads this way, you know.
Absolutely.
And I use it to my advantage, but you got to be careful because guys will break your leg. You
know? Right. And, I found out I got kicked a lot. Like, I found out, like, I played in Newark growing up.
Yes.
So I could just say certain things like, yo, I heard your mom's getting extra shifts at the strip joint. Good job. Like, I would just say little things like that.
That's a good one.
That's a leg breaker, I think.
Yeah. You get kicked a little bit. Or, like, I'd be like, yo, I heard your dad's getting out. You know?
Yeah,
and they're not.
And you're standing there. You got to stand all game. Yeah. Now,
you're actually never going to see him again.
No. Yeah. But they're out of the game now. You know? Yeah.
Were you someone who delivered the trash talk or knew how to process it when it was given to you? Was it a little bit like back and forth? Because when based on your personality, you would think that you maybe were not a person that was trying to like get under, you know, get psychologically in people's heads.
Well, for me, it's subjective, I guess, or situational.
Okay.
For me, it's like I don't initiate it. That wasn't my go-to.
Yeah.
I'd rather have an easy game where I'm not being touched. You know, and nice, you know, good technique, you know.
You're like, let's not piss off the center back right now.
That's my ideal match. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, when it gets going, you know, being from New York, like I said, you know, the Rucker, you know, just playing, you know, in the streets, you know, people are trash talking all day in New York. In the bodega, you order a sandwich and the guy's talking trash.
Right.
Like somebody like yourself, you know.
Exactly. Sharp. It's literally where I built my personality, in a bodega. And by the way, if they're not talking trash to you, they don't like you at that bodega, bro.
That's how we show love in New York.
I'm sorry. If you're not getting roasted.
But that is the thing. You know, I think when I was watching you play when I was younger, because I remember I sent you this this picture. This is a picture I took in 2008. This is you in when Beckham and LA Galaxy came to play against Metro Stars. So I was like always just you know watching you play, and this was always this is just like one of those surreal moments when I finally got to meet you. And you know,
is that Greg Vanney?
That's Greg Vanney.
Yes, it is. Greg Vanney was there.
Yeah. Chris Klein.
Oh my God.
Landon Donovan. We have
obviously. Oh yeah.
Is this
Beckham?
Is this Juninho?
No, that's Ante Razov.
Oh Razov. Okay. Wait, maybe that's Juninho.
No, that's Ruiz, Carlos Ruiz.
Well, I don't remember anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But still, this is there's something to the fact that what I think wasn't maybe played up enough was that you are and were a New Yorker in, you know, it's a big deal to have someone even just make it to the national team, because it's always New Jersey. New Jersey gets the most representation.
Well, we got all the grass.
But you are from Westchester, from which I to me still counts. You know, some people might be like, oh, it's Westchester, but there's something to
there. You do got to pay the 4% city tax.
Okay,
but if you're playing in Westchester, you're probably playing teams from the Bronx, playing teams from Long Island, playing teams from Queens. So you're getting all that experience whether you like it or not.
Yeah, because I remember talking to, you know, we had met through Cammartino, and Cammartino said that he would, when you guys were younger, you all would play together and play in some scrappy games, which is how Kyle sort of developed his game and his personality, because he had to play against some rough games, against Jamaicans, against a bunch of other people. Correct. That where it was like, there's something about the tri-state area that can.
It's like playing in the. You play every nation.
Yeah, you can. So it's a melting pot, right? Yeah. So you get a little bit of everything in New York. You know, where Kyle and I live, we're a little bit softer, I guess. Yeah. Like, a little bit more entitled, you know?
Yeah.
You have the city, then Jersey's like the underdog, the stepchild. Uh-huh. So for me, I played a year or two in Westchester, and then I went to Long Island. It's a little bit more physical in Long Island. And then I met Kyle, you know, my later teenage years. And, you know, we would travel. He would pick me up in Westchester. And then we would travel to Long Island. And that's where soccer was happening, I feel like. Those teams won, you know, more state championships at that time. It could be different now. I don't think they do state cup anymore. It's like MLS Next Pro and all these things. So, you know, playing pickup, you know, with grown men, my dad, you know, again, influenced, you know, my game. You can't just be physical and run over grown men. You have to outsmart them.
What's your background? Is it Caribbean?
Yes. Yeah. So my parents are Jamaican, both of them. And first generation.
So if I remember my Jamaican homies growing up, when the kids play with the adults do not turn it down one bit. They play like, if you out here, we're playing at our speed, you need to catch up.
Well, it's funny, my dad had to sneak to go play in, the inner city. Uh-huh. You know, my grandfather was an architect.
Right.
You know, so he lived kind of upper
class
in Jamaica at that time. So he was my grandfather was totally against it. But it was happening all day in the inner city. Soccer. Right. My dad was, he loved Pelé. And he was having the time of his life, you know, in the
inner
city kicking around. Who I'm named after.
A lot of people don't know Edson is Pelé's actual first name.
Yeah. Did you have a nickname at all?
Eddie, you know, people would call me. I know. It was no pressure. Yeah, there was
no pressure. Junior, maybe? Why not? You know?
Jeez. Put that on the guy. At a young age.
I know. But now I appreciate it. You know, it was kind of, I always have to repeat it twice, you know, in America. You know? But it's cool. I like Edson Buttle, you know. I thought.
What did
you
make an accent? That sounds great. Edson. Right?
Yes. I had no nickname at home. It was just straight Edson. You know,
yeah, of course.
Okay. And that, look, one of the things is you are, look, I don't know, the last few days I've been trying to do as much Edson Buttle research outside of just the stuff that I always knew and out of watching you play. I don't know how many like interviews you have done or how much stuff in the media, but to me, you are someone sort of under the radar of like people in American soccer that truly deserve their flowers. As far as like people that you know, it like people loved you. They wanted to see you more play for the mm-hmm. U.S. men's national team. I know that you know your career was fraught with like injuries and stuff like that. But I want to make sure we take the time to just be like, dude, like you were just a baller and so appreciated. And then it's like when I finally met you, I was just like, I'm happy he's like the nicest person ever. You know what I mean? It's like, you know,
he deserves the flowers. You should give it to him. But if you were a jerk, we'd be like, nah, that's why he ain't got his flowers.
Maybe dead flowers. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I mean, when you think about your career and your contribution to American soccer, where does that stand with you? And how do you feel about it?
Well, I've won like almost everything here, like not all the new tournaments. There's like so many new tournaments now, right? But
you didn't win League's Cup that started last year.
Right.
He's coming back. He's coming back just to win that.
And you know, so I met a lot of people along the way, you know, and just, I saw what's out there, you know, and I see the game growing and I'm happy to be in New York, you know, growing the game or still involved mm-hmm. in it. And for me, it's, you know, I feel like I got the respect from the people that are organizing the MLS, right?
And, yeah, yeah. Like the
and
industry.
More, yeah, the industry, yeah. I would say. You know, it sounds kind of like weird.
No, but it's like, get respect from the people you respect is a big deal. Like, you know, for comedy, sometimes they're like, oh, that's a comedian's comedian. You know, it's a comics comedian because the guys in the back of the room are loving what they're doing. Even if the audience is, you know, loves it and whatever, other comedians will wait in the room to watch this person's act. I feel like you're that version of a footballer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can say that. I never looked at it that way. And you're absolutely, I can agree with you. But people support me. Like, you know, when I meet people that know the game, like yourselves, you know, they say good things to me. You know, mm-hmm. I never hear any bad things, you know.
Oh, you missed that chance in 2011.
Like, I lost $50 on you, bro.
Right. And I signed up for the other side, too. Like, I play this for both sides, mm-hmm. and it's encouraging. So I had this thing, this complex when I was younger, growing up playing soccer here, is that I didn't want to talk to the average fan, you know, because they didn't know the game like how I knew it, how I was taught, mm-hmm. you know. And now I realize that there's fans that know a whole lot more than I do, you know, and they're very engaged, and there's a lot that I need to learn, you know, off the pitch, or whether it's, you know, on the pitch too, whether it's, you know, coaches that are teaching me different, you know, tactics, but I'm open to it. I'm like a junkie as well, as far as like as much as I love the game and I'm in the passion. And it's great where soccer, when I see these young kids, you know, with the NYC jerseys on, and it's like, wow, I'm proud. You know, you would think it's when I had the jersey on, but it's actually to see the NYC kids with the jerseys on.
That's awesome.
That's very sweet.
I was actually going to ask, like, being someone that's now working with, like, youth players, and just to see where the game has gone, you know, players starting their career in Europe after a few years being developed in MLS, some of them for free, being developed for free, which is totally different from when you were growing up. Just to see that switch of like players making it in Europe and can take that chance more, and American players just sort of not being seen as odd anymore across the world, and just how far MLS has come and how much they're paying, where players can decide to stay in MLS because they make more money here than they would in Europe in some cases. In one case in particular I'm thinking of, when you hear that, talk to me about how far the game has come from when you started to where it is now.
Wow, man, this is like day and night. I think America has acquired or adapted to the global soccer model, where the academy kids are looking to be sold, mm-hmm. you know, or bought. And, you know, back then we didn't have that. So it was like you're going to college, you know, or you're going like Project 40. Not too many kids from Westchester or the New York area want to make $24,000 a year. Especially when their parents probably can buy a team, you know.
Right.
A lot of the owners are in the tri-state, you know.
Yeah.
The Goodells, you know, and the NBA commissioner, and you know, even Don Garber, you know, he's from Queens, right?
Yeah.
right. So, you know, no one really aspired to do that. I mean, I remember telling my global studies teacher, I'm going to sign Project 40, you know, and it's with Nike, and there's a player named Landon Donovan, and, you know, Beasley, he's looking at me like I was crazy.
During parent teacher conference, like, your son is having hallucinations.
Yeah, yeah.
He's coming up with these fictional characters.
I think he's talking about the X-Men. I'm not sure. I think you might be making these names up.
Real talk. No, seriously, you know, and but it's But I think it's in a good place. There's no cheat code to developing the best players overnight. But I signed up for the long run, you know, the hard work, you know. And I think all the training that I've done, I think there's a misconception of just going to training, getting a personal trainer, and, you know, that's just going to do the job, you know. But there's a lot of takeaways, you know, where it's, you know, the teamwork, you know, it's consistency, you know, showing up on time. So, you know, you're growing young men, you know, and the integrity for me went up when I realized, you know, I'm going to be out there coaching and training.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
So, look, we gotta get to it because you are part of MLS history in that you were with the LA Galaxy when David Beckham joined the team. And this was not only was it a great, you know, and we talk about all the time how that changed Major League Soccer and American soccer. You know, we probably wouldn't have Messi at Inter Miami right now if Beckham did not join the LA Galaxy in that moment. But your seasons there with Beckham and then your 2010 season, MVP season, Golden Boot.
Before we get to that, can I just ask one question about the documentary? Did you see the Beckham documentary?
Yes, I did.
Okay, when they said the word pool cleaners, he was surrounded by pool cleaners on the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, they talking about you, my team. What went through your head?
Yeah, that was harsh. Nah, when I saw it, I was like, damn, that was kind of harsh. You know what I mean? And you know, I was making better than what I was when I started, in 2010. But he definitely, I felt like, you know, it was me, you know what I mean, at the time. But he always spoke well about me in the press. You know, actually was an advocate for me getting on the World Cup team. So I was happy, you know, when he arrived, I was like, okay, I have to shine with him on the squad, you know, because everyone's going to watch. So I was in good, you know, faith with Beckham. So I kind of leaned towards like, oh, he wasn't talking about me, you know, just so I don't beat myself up, you know.
Can you lay to rest? Do you know anyone on that team that was cleaning pools for a living?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
It was hyperbole when he said that, right? Or was it?
No, it was one of the journalists or someone in the voiceover made.
Right. So it was clear like hyperbole, but the disrespect that Major League Soccer players were getting when
they played it off as if we were on the team with you.
Like what was the I guess. Because we saw this with Zlatan a little bit when he joined the LA Galaxy, the clear frustration with his teammates of like they weren't in the places that they needed to be. They didn't have a strong first touch. They just didn't do the things that he would have done if he was receiving that pass. Was that like an ever-present thing with Beckham? And we've met David Beckham, also a very, very kind person, super really polite, very, very
off
nice.
Off the pitch.
But when it comes to meeting a standard, I'm sure that must be there. I'm sure he must have voiced some frustration with the quality that he was, you know, that he had to interact with.
Well, I think wherever Zlatan, I can't even say it right. but wherever he goes, you know, I think that he's going to be, you know, like controversial.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. And as far as I tell people this all the time, like you got to put some more goals on my tally because I played with average midfielders, I guess, right?
Right.
Because Zlatan said that he was so frustrated with the delivery and the service,
yeah.
Right?
And you're like, yeah, I know. Right, me too.
I got to get more credit, you know, and then my longevity, right?
Yeah.
I was doing something
service.
Right.
Service. I need service.
The energy at the time when I was in MLS was like you're using it to try to get abroad, you know? Mm-hmm. It was like this is, you know, you want to be here for your whole career. But it was more like you want to maximize your time here to try and get over to Europe, you know. And once the league grows, it'll probably look how it looks today. But I never felt like we were looking at our players like we're the best in the world or, you know, the fans are expecting us to be just as good as Manchester United or the salaries to be the same. Mm-hmm. So it was more of a stepping stone. And it was competitive, you know, for myself. You know, you'll hear players like Rooney. That's come here and said that the quality is good. You know, they should be paid more, but you know, who's coming to the matches in those times, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And I was here when Beckham arrived and it was nuts. You know, it's like a circus. The stadiums are full. When we have the European matches in the summer, the tournaments, the stadiums are full there too. So, you know, I was at World Cup 94, you know, so I know, you know, there's people here that support the game And it's just a matter of how you do with the business structure. And Don Garber, that's why he gets paid all the big bucks.
Yes, he certainly does. What's one moment where you realize just how big of a star David Beckham was? Like, what's a moment you realize, like, oh, it's different?
Man, good question. It was different. I got one for you. So I was, came into training, got in my training gear, and I'm going, to the training room, get tape or whatever towards the weight room. And I get in the weight room, and Beckham's in there on the phone and by the weight room or something like a bench, mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is he up to, And he's talking to someone. I forget who it was, but I think he was ordering like a Rolls Royce. You might remember the Rolls Royce I'm talking about too. Right. It was like black, the suicide doors, Phantom. I think it was like, the 2-year suicide door, 2-door, Yeah. So I was like, okay, it's different, and I got the second story too. Valentine's Day, uh-huh. I'm like, hey, what are you getting your wife, for Valentine's Day? And he said, oh, I'm a vineyard. And I said, oh, I ain't talking to him.
Why are we having these conversations with him?
Just casually.
Oh, can I get a discount on some wine, David?
Nothing no more.
Bro, David, I will go and step on the grapes if you let me go to this vineyard.
This is...
We're looking at David Beckham in this Rolls Royce. I don't know if this is...
That's the one right
that's
there.
That's the one?
100%. Black on black. It was cold. I was like, man, this guy...
Over the phone.
Over the phone.
Yeah, correct.
Bro, that's what I do with Chinese food.
Beckham probably has like a version of DoorDash that delivers Rolls Royces, bro.
He's like, your Uber Eats just doesn't hand you fresh cars.
Man. And then, I got another that bonus is he got injured. Or he came in with a little bit of injury. Yeah, he had his own doctor come in. And I was like, yo, he ain't using the trainer? Why am I using the trainer?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You geek is up. You know what I mean?
A la carte.
But it's normal.
The hospital comes to him.
They build the hospital right next to the stadium.
That's crazy.
Yeah, dude. I mean, look, it's interesting because the documentary did something amazing. And, a lot of documentaries nowadays are, they're informative. But we all know they're a little bit like a...
propaganda?
Not propaganda, but it's a commercial sort of for the person. And there was...
It's a brand adjustment machine for some.
For Beckham, it was definitely a... when we met him in 2019.
Yeah, no, 2020.
2020.
Yeah, it was like 3 weeks before lockdown.
Yeah, right. And we met. And the one thing that was really shocking was just how available he was, how kind he was. He was just like... we're like in a media sort of a line, like
we were the end of the scrum,
and we were like telling him, hey, we're like comedians, we're gonna make a couple jokes and stuff, and he was like, okay, sure, yeah, and then it was like on board, as opposed to most people, especially with that level of fame, you would think it would be like, okay, what are these clowns are up to, right. But he was like happy.
But he looked you in the eye, he showed you he cared about what you were saying,
and
no one cares about what we're saying,
and that's
impressive.
And I think that was the impressive thing with the documentary, that it highlighted his interest in not only growing the game in the country, but just like I sensed a genuine sort of respect for his teammates. And yeah, it was like, yeah, the quality the same as Real Madrid? No. But he didn't like go, he just wasn't rude about it. It wasn't disrespectful. I think there was a real appreciation
he was getting into
of too. Your skill. Because I was reading up about you were fighting for playing time on that LA Galaxy squad, especially when Beckham got there. And I know every single of the 10 other positions, everybody's like, all right, yo, I got to bring my best game. But you were behind Alan Gordon, right? Ruiz.
Ruiz was
there. Ruiz was there. So you weren't the first, I think, on top of people's minds, but Beckham himself did... I forgot the exact statement and the quote, but he was speaking highly of you and said that you were like getting better and better every single day and really highlighted your skill. But when you saw that and read that, how did that make you feel that to get praise from him directly like that?
Well, you always want to respect the people that you look up to, because a player that, I had Manchester United, that team on my wall, right? And I seen him come with the world team. you know, 96 before the MLS started, you know, 96, the first match. And, you know, it motivated me every day, day in, day out, just to, you know, get that respect from Beckham. You know, if I can't finish, you know, crosses from him, you know, then something's wrong with me.
Right, right.
That's a really good way to look at it.
Yeah, yeah, because you know they're accurate.
I know he did something good. I got to follow it up with something good.
What's it like playing with a player like that and it instantly, like, do you immediately get better just because, like, yo, he is sending these pinpoint perfect passes that I barely even have to do anything, right? Like, he's getting it to me in the exact spot that I can get on goal.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, correct. You feel like having a player like that raises everyone's level, you know, and you don't want to mess up his passes because they'll let you know right away, you know. I was one of those people too, you know, like, I want to win. So I'll sacrifice and do what it takes, you know, to get that win, you know. And Beckham, Landon, you know, the list goes on, you know, good players that were a part of that group. And, you know, Beckham is a blue collar worker. You know, he came in and did the fitness. You know, he showed up every day. You know, I tried to stay with him when training, and just like tag, you know, and he was totally down for it. You know, so now we're just playing tag. He's chasing me. You know, we're staying with each other. I'm like, man, this guy is like a kid. You know, youthful soul.
I would love to play hide and seek with David Beckham, bro. That would be crazy.
I'm starting to really appreciate the fact that I asked him to adopt me because it seemed like he's a great dad.
That is amazing, dude. There is something to just the. That level of ability, because I know he mentioned the praise, and this was something else I had found, though. Like, you were also a very highly criticized player. Like, people, they said the term lazy. That was like a thing, and I'm sure this is, I don't want to bring up any, you know, bad sort of memories, but
it says that right after it does it.
You know what I'm saying? Apologies, but
the streets talk.
But to hear the those comments, I mean, and maybe you can even talk about where they sort of came from, and then to also get that kind of praise, much felt like some kind of redemption, because again, in 2010, you were the best player in the league.
Well, you know, you're always going to get criticism, especially when you're not on the championship team. There's only one champion. Yep. And in hindsight, you know, people did say some of those things, and I would hear it. And but again, I was kind of raised that I had this complex where I wouldn't even listen to the average fan, you know, because the soccer knowledge just wasn't there for me. This didn't match up the same. But, you know, the stats were there, you know, right? When I look back, you know, when I used to hear this criticism, it used to weigh on me. Right. So I used to say, man, I'm always trying to get better. You know, pros or myself, you don't realize how far you've come because you're in a locker room with guys trying to take your spot. You know, so you think you're not good enough because you want to be as good as Messi. You know, but you got a dream, you know, and for me, that was important just to, you know, just have confidence in yourself.
I think. Now, you mentioned stats, and I brought your name up to Ivis Kolarčep. I'm sure you remember from your many years in soccer. And he was like, bro, score four against Red Bulls, the first thing he said. Now, when you think back to scoring four, I'm watching, you know, Erling Haaland just scored four or five. How many did Erling Haaland have this weekend?
I don't remember.
I think it was four.
I thought it was three. But it
No. It was four. So when you're scoring four, when you're in that moment, one, is it that you're on a hot streak? Is it just that everything is clicking? The midfielder's getting you good service? Or is it just you going like, man, I'm done with this. Man, get your bumble cloud ass out of here. I'm going to do this myself. Like, what is that moment for you?
Well, I think they call it the flow state, you know?
Oh, like, yeah,
the
flow state, right? My wife talks about this all the time.
Ed's just going to put out a bunch of crystals on the table.
Putting yourself in. And you train for it, right?
You manifested
it, correct. Absolutely. And I just thought I was just doing stuff, you know? Yeah.
Your ancestors were gracing you with the energy to score the four goals.
And, you know, it's a lot of repetition. You got to do it over and over. And, you know, like, you don't score goals, you're out as a striker. So for me to, you know, sustain and last, have the longevity, you got to score goals, you know. And I didn't have a lot of caps, you know. I was on the national team a lot. So I think that also has an impact on, you know, the perception, you know, of, you know, my body of work.
Right.
You
know what I'm saying? Yeah. that's you showing off to trying to be like, yo, I deserve a shot.
Shot at on a national
team.
In hindsight too, you know, I would say, oh, you know, I could have got called up a little bit more. What if, you know? Yeah. But I think everyone deserves a shot. You know, I think you get, it's always you versus you, you know, and you get out of the game what you want to get out of it, you know, and if that was the ultimate goal, maybe I could have locked in on it a little bit more, right? And then you take these experiences and then you pay it forward.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, look, I want to get into your national team career because a lot of people do wish they would have seen you more. I mean, you're speaking about it in hindsight in this very kind of centered, calm way. But I'm upset, bro. I'm still upset.
Same. Same, because you had some really good friendlies.
You had some good matches. Yeah. The times I was in with the night, I maximized it. No, I feel like I maximized, you know, every opportunity that I was given.
So give us the tea, bro.
Bro, what happened?
Who should we be mad at?
Point at any pool cleaner.
That's East Coast. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, well, you know, I don't want to ruin relationships, but in general, like, was it a coach that didn't favor you? Was it something another? Maybe was the negative criticism. Maybe it was something that was difficult to shake. But why do you think is the main reason?
Well, now that I'm coaching, you know, I see it in a different lens, you know, because I don't want players that that are not starting or playing to totally quit, you know. So the message is, you know, how much do you love it? You know, are you willing to persevere through these moments? Is it all about you? You know, because, you know, 11 players got to play.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So in the grand scheme of things, I could have ruined a lot of relationships with having a bad reaction, right? So it's how you react to things, you know, and how you respond more
to that adversity.
To adversity, yeah, you know, because you got to be careful. You can say things or that you can't take back, you know, in a sense. Yeah. So in the heat of the moment, I think I handle it well because I'm coaching players that will quit, you know, if they don't start. You know, if you put a player in the different position, they'll quit.
Right.
You know,
do you think you handled it badly when you were a player? Is that why you think you didn't get as many opportunities?
No, I think I handled it great, you know, because
it ain't me.
No,
I
was
thinking, I'm like,
yeah, it's not about me.
So you were supposed to be mad at? You know what I mean?
Who am I mad at?
No, and there were good players, you know. I think we were making World Cups then, you know. I think there were good players that were in form at different times, you know. A lot of it's timing too when it comes to the national team. Mm-hmm. So I feel like
who are you competing against at the nine at that point? I guess Charlie Davies at that time.
Yeah, Josie still was around. He's been
Josie,
around.
Josie, he's around. Crazy when you think about the longevity of Josie's career.
Josh
Wolf McBride,
Clint Mathis.
McBride was still Mathis. I mean, Jesus, how do you get on this team? Yeah. You gotta break a couple knees.
But it was good for me because, you know, coming out of nowhere, you know, I don't have the, like, you know, went to the big university or went to, you know, Bayer Leverkusen or these academies. I just came straight IMG. I didn't go to IMG. So I'm one of the players that never.
Were you ODP at the time?
At least went to ODP. I did ODP.
Okay, you got
know?
That.
Yeah, I got that on my belt, you know, and went straight pro. I went to Rough Riders. For me to, you know, not go to a pro academy and still, you know, make it to a World Cup, it says a lot about my integrity, you know, of the game, you know.
And you played in the 2010 World Cup, if I'm not mistaken.
2010, that's
2010, okay. 2010, yeah. I talk about that experience. I mean, and just getting to be there, what did it mean for you? What did it mean for your family? That must have been just amazing.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. You know, a surprise. It happened so fast, you know, so it was like you couldn't even digest it right away, you know.
What do you mean it happened so fast?
Like one moment, you know, I'm scoring a bunch of goals with the Galaxy. I'm not on the radar. And then I'm called up to the 30-man roster, you know.
Who called you?
Pam Perkins.
Yeah?
Yeah, the administrator. Email, via email.
Oh, email.
Via email, yes. She's the coordinator. Yeah, when you get an email from her, it's like very, it brings back memories. Like Ratatouille, the movie.
not a good omen.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. We can ignore it. Yeah, we'll keep going. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Pam, she's great. You know, she was the coordinator at the time, and I was scoring goals with the Galaxy. And, you know, we lost in the final that year before. So I was trying to keep my spot, you know, with Bruce and leading into the next season. And I got on a hot streak at the right time. And then that's how I got called in. So I wasn't even thinking about qualifying, or it was just about keeping my job every year, you know, for me. So that's how I kept, you know, my job for so long, is because the goal scoring and not, you know, thinking about myself, you know, and saying, oh, I should be in Europe, and, you know, to get discouraged because of the salary. And, you know, I can use that experience going forward.
But well, you did end up going to Europe. You played in Germany at Ingolstadt.
Two Bundesliga, you know? Right?
Yes, yeah, Bundesliga too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And so being in a different country, obviously not knowing the language, but I think you did okay there. What was the experience like for you?
Yeah, I was leading in goals when I left.
Yeah,
yeah, I was doing well. You know, again, I wasn't like a stat guy. Like before the season, my dad was like, we got to get this much stats. You know, it wasn't like that in my household. So, but no, I was doing well, and the service was a lot better. Go back to that, right?
Didn't have to work with them pool cleaners.
Yeah, I remember.
That one pool in all of Germany, man.
Yeah, I was trying to track down, like, the left back or right back. You know, I was tracking them down, and the coach goes, no, just don't go outside the 18-yard box. It was MLS. Yeah. I was
staying between the poles, right?
That's not you, you know?
I'm hustling out here, fam. That reminds me when I played football in high school, like, you know, American football. Someone yelled pass. I was a linebacker, and someone yelled pass, and I looked up and started running backwards. And the coach goes like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I heard pass." They go, "Ain't no pass coming anywhere near you, bro.
Nobody's
get your ass on that line.
Not even thinking about you.
Yo, it's not going anywhere. If the ball hits up anywhere near you, major mistakes have happened." That's a good point. Yeah. Never thought of it that way.
What did you enjoy most about Germany?
Germany. Man, training, the seriousness of how they approach, you know, the game. You know, they trained my dad, you know, he trained a lot, you know, and I try to, you know, reinforce that with the players here locally. You know, like I said, they think they're just going to go to practice, have a trainer, you know, two times a week. It's beautiful how they keep the environment, you know, it's very business oriented. They pay on time, you know, so the people were very welcoming, but cold mannerism. So I was like, yo, do you like me or you don't? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Germany is a trip, dog.
Yeah, they're good
people.
All of
you got poker faces, bro. Like, you don't show any emotion. Am I making you laugh or are you laughing at me? I can't tell what's happening.
Correct. And now I miss it, you know, where like I would totally go back and, you know, play there. Not now, but, you know, longer. But German players, there are some ballers out there. We can compete. I feel like I saw some Americans. I don't feel like I saw America. I saw some Americans out there, and it was to my surprise. You know, you'll find players that aren't getting the write-ups that are having these experiences in Germany.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's a little easier for Americans.
I mean, Tarantola was there for a long time at
Hanover.
Hanover, and they call him the mayor of Hanover. I don't know if you...
Stevie Trundolo?
Yeah,
Trundolo. Oh, yeah, that's my guy. Yeah, I love Stevie.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
he's a great dude,
played with
man.
Him on the national team.
Yogi, fellow yogi and fit dude. Yeah, he also is an advocate for the training and German mentality. He's a baller.
Dude, I love it. I feel like Edson's about to talk about his new dispensary that he's about to open. Yeah.
I'm home.
Blasted is a good term.
I didn't know Trundolo was a fellow yogi. That's great. I seen you post stuff about doing yoga. I just saw that recently. When did you get into yoga, and what has it meant for you?
Well, I got into yoga 2004. It's like everyone talks about it now. It wasn't like that back then. It was Bikram yoga
hot yoga. And I walked in a Bikram yoga studio once after a class. Oh my god, the smell was horrific.
Yes, everyone says that. Says that. A lot of newbies say that. For some reason, but you know, like the shakes, you know, like I like the bitter taste. I'm one of those people that I don't mind sour, you know what I mean? If it smells a little funky, like that means it's gonna be a good workout. You know what I mean? So like
You spend too much time in locker rooms. If you like the smell, tells you it's gonna be a good day. You spend too much time in locker room, bro.
You smell like you don't smell the shoes. You smell the shoes. Yeah. Like, soccer cleats. Like, I gotta get a whiff of that.
The smell of 3 points. I'm vomiting in the corner. I'm Fabricing.
Edson is like Bane from Batman. Like, I was born in the smell. Yeah,
Gee, this is mother's milk over here.
Oh, man. It's like, you laugh so much here, you'll forget the topic. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? So excuse my delay sometime.
No, no. We're talking about yoga.
We're talking yoga. Yoga. Yeah.
Any exercise that you're encouraged to fart in. I didn't
get questioned myself while people were farting, you know? Mid-class in the heat.
In a hot steak room. That's illegal. I said, bro, none of y'all allowed to eat beans.
Yeah,
bro. Stacy, you're not vegan no more. Yeah. We can't handle it. How many legumes are in your diet?
No more Brussels sprouts before class.
Damn.
It gets real in there. I'm not contesting.
Everybody, I bought you the car fresheners for a reason. Wear them around your neck from now on.
Was it a thing that any of your like teammates and stuff got on board with, or were they making fun of you for it? Because obviously at 20 years ago was a very different time.
Well, Kyle's a good example. Martino, he was my roommate, in 2004 in Columbus.
Right. I'm sorry to hear that.
He's not.
You did yoga in Columbus?
In Columbus,
Ohio?
Exactly. Damn, in Columbus, bro. Ohio.
Blackout windows. I would just imagine not the most hospitable place to yoga.
See, back then, it was like the person did yoga and also ran a cult. Like, so you got to be sure who.
I'm leaving before the meeting. I'm here only for the yoga.
I'm not taking any beverage from anybody.
Man, it's not a lot of people then. You're right, 100%. And he was a vegan as well. And he played in a friend of mine that introduced me to it. He was a football player and he tried out for the crew. Uh-huh. And Gary Barry. And he was.
His name was Gary Barry?
Gary Barry.
That sounds like the leader of a cult, though. I'm not lying to you.
Yeah, and he played for the Buckeyes, could be, it's helped with hip mobility, lengthening your muscles, injury prevention. And, I think it helped me with having a longer career, I'm an advocate for it. I think for human purposes, I think it's a good way to start your way, start your day. And if you notice animals, dogs, the first thing they do when they get up, they stretch.
They do that stretch. I have a dog. I don't know if you have a dog, but there's something that happens when a dog stretches in front of you that you have to say, big stretch. You can't not say it.
Yeah.
That's like rude.
Did I not stretch hard enough today?
Give me a big stretch.
My guy didn't hit me with a...
I'm going to hear your voice now.
My guy didn't hit me with a big stretch.
Big stretch.
I'm going to say that. I'm going to walk by... now I'm comparing my wife to a dog, which is not what I wanted.
I'm going to harmonize it.
My wife, my wife likes to stretch in the morning, so I'm going to hit it with that. Big stretch from the other room as I got my legs up, on the coffee table drinking coffee.
My mind just went other places.
Yeah. I got my legs up in a different way.
You mentioned injuries, and you did have a long career, but you did have some seasons that had a couple injuries. What did you deal with the most? And then the other thing to that is like, you did have a fair amount of injuries in your career, but when you look at your stats, it doesn't necessarily look like you did have a lot of injury. You scored
big layoffs.
Yeah, you scored like a lot of goals in a few amount of games in a couple seasons. But what did you have to deal with the most?
The Achilles tendonitis. That was probably the worst. I saw a clip of Henri talking about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I could totally
relate. That was gut-wrenching, that clip. If you don't know what you're talking about, I forget. It was something CEO is the name of the show.
Yes.
Yeah, and he talks about how he was just in pain. Perpetually.
That's what I was dealing with. And then one time, 10 years.
Mm-hmm. His daughter said, like, tag, you're it. And he just could not go. And he goes, that's when he knew his career was over. Yeah. When I can't play with my kid, it's over. You know what I mean? You dealt with the same thing?
Well, luckily, I was able to, it's an inflammation, in the tendonitis and your Achilles. But I was able to get past it. I tried everything, and a lot of stretching, of course, whether it's PRP, platelets, rich plasma, my Achilles, that helped. But you got to get circulation in that area, so different people respond differently, everyone responds differently to treatment. But to hear him, Henri share that story, it's like shared suffering, and I can totally relate because 10 years, it was annoying getting out there and you want to do moves and, you want to feel good. And you're like, no, I can't go today, but I have to play because the next guy behind me is going to score and then I won't be able to play. What I mean? So there's a lot of pressure to play when you're injured. And it's just, life, sports doesn't build character reveals it, you know? So people.
That's bars.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, it's just an experience that, you know, that tests who you are, you know, and that you can persevere and you shouldn't quit just because you have an injury. Because right. You should see if there can something you can do to get better, because then you can share it with someone else, right? And then so forth. And it goes on and on. So
after football, was that like a big shift for you? Was that difficult? You know, sort of the end of your playing career?
Well, I definitely was tired and ready to retire. Mm-hmm. And the locker room was starting to shift, and I didn't want to be one of those old guys, you know, bitter at the young guys. Mm-hmm. And you know, I do feel like I should have held a lot of the younger guys accountable, you know, as an OG, because I see what it can turn into as time was going on. No, I was happy to retire. I feel like I said, I won a lot of things. I scored a lot of goals, a lot of good moments. The World mm-hmm. Cup was elated with the World Cup, you know? But transitioning into the world is different, because not everyone has that passion, or, you know, I have more empathy for society, because not everyone knows exactly what they want to do, right? Mm-hmm. My dad put the ball in my crib, so I always knew I wanted to play pro.
Dude, soccer. You're named after Pelé. Yeah. You didn't have much of a shot.
Yeah.
Which I guess brings me to my next question. Did you have a thought of like, oh, I'm going to just go be a civilian now and not be involved in football at all? Because from the moment I've met you, you've been involved in football, or trying to find more ways to be involved in football. Now you're a head coach. You work with academy kids. You do a bunch of stuff. Have you thought about not being involved in football? And if you did, what did that look like?
Man, I always say I would have probably joined the Army if I didn't play soccer.
Really?
My godmother did, you know. My other friend did as well. He joined the Air Force. But, you know, for me, I just want to be around the game, you know, as much as possible. My dad coached, so and he still coaches to this day. So maybe it's a family thing now. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I'm deeply passionate about. Right? I'm willing to sacrifice what it takes so we can grow, we can make progress, right? And there's no quick steps. I like the long process. You got to grind it out. You got to roll up your sleeves and get out there, right?
Yeah,
and,
there's no shortcuts.
There's no shortcuts. So I don't want to oversell development, or, you know, say that, you know, I'm doing this because I have the answer. It's like, no, I like the grind, you know, of the sport.
Damn.
I mean,
the game is just in you at this point.
Yeah, it's beautiful, because there's a certain, you know, when players leave the game, they can either leave with, you know, some bitterness, some regret, some just a lot of different feelings. But the sort of the cyclical nature that you're aware of in the game of, like, you know, somebody did this for me to help me get to this place, and I can truly help the next generation do that is inspiring, you know what I mean? And I can announce this finally. I mentioned this to you right before we started, but I have an announcement to make, because I'm gonna make my professional debut. Because I, Christian Polanco, will be playing this summer in TST. Okay. And the inspirational words that Edson Buttle has given me is allowing me to just be delusional enough to think that I'm going to succeed in this
That's
tournament.
That's what you're playing. That's on exactly Delulu FC, bro.
That is right. Yes, you got to be delusional. Yeah, that's the takeaway.
Because
correct.
There's $1 million at stake.
Bro.
We
getting this money, bro. That's all I'm saying.
Let's get this money.
Let's go, bro. A team from Connecticut won last year, bro. We got a shot, bro.
So anything could happen. So I'm excited for that. So this June 5th through 10th, TST, Christian Polanco, myself, will be playing in that. And hopefully
I also have an announcement to make. I will not be playing at a local team.
I'll be playing for the team. It's called Summer of Soccer, which is basically the people that run FC Series. Remember the organization in Orlando that does a lot of the friendlies. So this is something to look forward to. And I'm hoping Edson Buttle could train me for any kind of success. So we'll see.
Let's go.
Yeah, I got you. You know, we live close.
Okay.
Close, sir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because my man, you won the Golden Boot in 2010. I need any advice, any skills I can get. The one thing I do want to ask you is, what's your favorite goal that you've ever scored?
My favorite? Ooh. The one with the Galaxy, I would say.
Okay.
That was my favorite guy against Seattle. And Beckham climbed on me. I got to carry Beckham, too. So I guess it was like a 2-for-1.
This is great because I know exactly.
So it's not only about the goal. It's because I got to carry Beckham.
I know exactly the goal you're talking about. This was your 2010 season. And this is legit one of the greatest goals I think anybody will ever see. But this is, are we looking? Yeah, this is it, right? I mean, this is
and if you crazy. Haven't been to Seattle and seen that crowd, like it's, you know, nuts. You know, it's a lot of people.
And there's loud
trash talking. It's green everywhere. The field's green. There's a sea of green. You know, it went completely silent after that.
Yeah.
It was just our fans in the crowd. Charity in the corner. They put us way in the nosebleeds.
They
do.
They put you up there.
Yep. I mean, look at that. This is a great.
We just had Brian McBride just did Morning Footy, so we showed some of his clips.
That's my
and I'm
guy,
like, man,
way,
did they film all this on flip phones? Why is it? I don't remember it being. Were my eyes worse?
There's a reason for that. Is because we're watching on much clearer television, so we see the pixelation a lot better. Older TV, CRT televisions, were grainy enough where we couldn't see this kind of distortion. But that's really it doesn't look as bad as we remember. It's just the TVs were sort of crappier and it hid some of that distortion.
Smoothed it all out.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like I'm not the only one that has that conversation with themselves.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you guys, I'm not the only one. Yeah.
I see footage now from like 2004. I'm like, it's not even that long ago.
Because I'm sure, like, some of the kids you coach look at your highlights and they're like, bro, was this before where we had like electric cars and right. before we had like,
was there someone doing this to a camera?
Especially with the youth today, like they have nice pixels.
You know?
Is that what it's called? That right? What is it still called? That
HD footage. And all that. Yeah, 4K.
Amazing. Spoiler.
The highlights are different. I guess one thing I want to hear from you, because if you feel like such a positive person, ask you your favorite goal. What's the best advice you ever got in your career?
One of the best advice. I use it to this day, too. Have a short memory. Mm. You know, so when you make a mistake.
I'm sorry, what'd you say? I took your advice.
It's working.
I took your advice.
Spot on, bro.
Like doctors come in to evaluate Alexis.
This man's got a problem. Yeah. He took advice too well.
And I happen to overanalyze myself too much, right? Too critical, you know, and I didn't just go forward at times. And that's in the simplest way. And that's probably one of the best advice, you know.
That's
my reflex response, I would say.
That's okay. Beautiful.
Look, Edson, we could go on for hours, but we got to wrap up. This has been so cool, so dope. Thank you so much for doing this. This has been, again, an honor. And again, I don't know what if this is the thing that's going to push you in front of the camera more, or just we need an Edson Buttle documentary, whatever we need to happen. I think it does, because like I said before, you are a tremendous contributor to American soccer, to New York soccer,
which is huge.
To our when we were young and watching you, mm-hmm. and it was just such an awesome thing to see. And the fact that you're in this room on the show with us means I can't even express how much it means to us. So thank you so much for taking the time and doing this, man.
Yes, and with all respect, just one of the best looking human beings we've
this
had on
our
show.
This man is literally
hard to look at
when
him
I
in
was
face.
Setting up the camera. His ISO shot. Mike, put his ISO shot on. Let's real quick.
Because
my man, I don't know why you had Beckham must have been like, bro, you're gonna steal some of my modeling jobs, dog.
Beckham was like, put this man on the national team. Look how gorgeous he is.
Man, I wish I had that confidence.
No, bro, do you not have mirrors in your house,
I get complimented on my skin. And mm-hmm. then this is the first time I looked at you. I'm like, yo, my skin is trash compared to this, man.
You got good skin. Takes one to know one.
Game recognized.
I see you shining. Shut up.
I guess we're not talking about all the product I've been using on my skin. Thank you.
I squeezed it in there a little
bit. Thank you. All right. Your boy got that muslin. You know what I mean? That snail musin, whatever it's called.
Okay. Go follow Edson Buttle on Instagram at Edson Buttle. And B-U-D-D-L-E. The homie, the man, just an icon in this sport and especially in this country. And he's coaching now, and maybe he's my coach. I guess so. We'll see.
Might be.
Maybe soon. No, thanks for having me, guys. Like, seriously, my pleasure.
Of course.
Congratulations with the success you guys have been having. Keep adding to the pot. Of course, it's gonna grow. I believe in it.
Forever.
And I'll be watching.
Well, I got a short memory. I don't even know what you said, bro.
Yeah. Wait, when did Edson get here?
Yes, yes.
And also, shouts to Christian Polanco on TST, bro.
This is crazy, bro.
Bro, you got to pull off that goal that Edson just scored. Seattle. You got to pull that
goal. Yeah, I'm going to score against Nick Ramondo. Watch.
He's going to be there, right?
He's playing.
Oh, man.
Shout out Nick,
if I score a goal against Nick Ramondo.
Bro, I might fly down there with a bottle of champagne.
You best know. Nick Ramondo will never forget. He will not live a day without me DMing him, being like, "Yo, remember when I scored on you?"
Yeah, yeah. But also, Edson got to teach you, you know, a couple of the tricks of the trade.
Yeah,
me and you got to work on sellies, bro. Okay. We got to have some goal sellies ready to go.
That's
people
going to
remember
it.
You.
You did a couple. We wrap up here. You did a couple.
You did this joint, right?
Interesting goal celebration.
Yeah, that was a Dougie.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A little half Dougie. Yeah. I was a little timid, like I said, athlete, a little insecure about it. Yeah. But I went for it.
Yeah. Was a different time. Of like sometimes if you celebrate a little too hard, people will criticize you and be like, "Oh, you're doing too much. You're too flashy." You know, Charlie Davies, even he had to deal with the stanky leg.
Kai Kamara. I give Kai credit. I just gave him credit the other day. I said, "Bro, you stuck to who you were the whole time.
Yeah,
and
look
at you now. You know,
speaking of longevity,
the game caught up. Personality.
The man's been playing in MLS for 55 years. Yeah. Kai Kamara.
Yeah, right. I said, keep going, bro.
You
got it. Every single team, he's gonna be like, "Yo,
he was wearing the Clash shirt." When they announced the league.
He's going to be San Diego FC's first signing, bro.
Probably. For his DP, the way he's playing.
Good human, though. That's
very much so, yeah. Another yogi as well.
All right. Edson Butto. Seriously, again, thank you so much for joining us. It's been super, super cool. Everybody, make sure you follow Edson. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And shout out to everybody watching on DraftKings Network as well. We'll be back on, what's today, Monday?
We'll be back on Thursday.
Thursday, another new episode. Y'all the absolute best, everybody. Take care.
Love you guys.